Brandon, thank you again for stepping in and filling in. There's so many out sick, and so y'all just be in prayer for this time of year. I know a lot of you probably have family members that are homesick right now and can't be here worshiping with you, so please keep that in mind. This morning, we are here to talk about engaging our neighbor. And with that, we have this entire thing. You probably saw all the tables as you walked in. That we're calling our Engage Ministry Fair, and we'll get to a little bit more about that in just a minute. When I was 9 years old, I was a baseball player, and I was in my very first select baseball tournament, which I wasn't actually a part of a select team at the time. I was just on a team that was from Podunk, Little Edgewood, Texas. And we went to Dallas, to the big city of, and we brought our team there, and we thought, you know what, we were pretty much undefeated in our season, and so why not? Let's go and see how we fare against the Dallas elites. And believe it or not, we get pretty far in the tournament. We get all the way up until the championship game, and it's us versus this select baseball team. They look like giants. They look like they're 14 years old, and we're 9, and we look like we should be playing t-ball. And we get to the very last inning, and we are only down by just one run. But there are two outs, and if you know baseball, you know that you only get three outs, so you only have one left. And there are bases loaded. That means of all the three bases, not including home plate, there is somebody on them ready for you to just hit the ball into the field. And as long as nobody catches it or throws it to first base before you get there, you're going to win the game. Or at least you're going to tie it up and probably win the game because, let's face it, we're 9 years old. We don't really throw that well. And lo and behold, little old me, I wasn't that little. I was about this short and about this wide. But I get up to bat, and I'm thinking, man, this is what should happen. This is exactly like I planned it. Every kid sitting in their backyard, right, standing there with a ball and bat, tossing the ball up. Oh, it's the bottom of the ninth. Two outs, bases loaded, full count. Oh, well, that was a bad pitch. Hold on. Toss it and home run, right? This is what I've been practicing for. And so I get up there. I look down at third base. My coach doesn't give me any signs. He's just like, just hit the ball. You're 9 years old, right? But I get up there and I'm like, I'm ready, coach. And I stand in there and I put the bat on my shoulder and I am just ready. Oh, this is the moment. Select ball, here I come. I can see it now. I'm going to be playing with Pudge in his final season. It's going to be great. And I stand up there, and that little pitcher, I mean, 9 years old, so he's probably just like, eh. But that pitcher throws the ball right down the middle. Strike one. And in baseball terms, I spit on it, right? Forget about it. I didn't want that pitch anyway. Strike one. Bases loaded, two outs, the game on the line. I look down at third base, the coach is like, what are you doing? Just get in the box. And I was, okay, coach, I will be honest. My confidence has waned just slightly because now it's 0-1. That's not great. I get in the box. He throws the pitch. Right down the middle, strike two. Bat never left my shoulder. And so now, I do what most athletes do. I have to stop and consider. All right, am I going to step up to the occasion? Am I going to be Michael Jordan with the flu, winning the third championship in a row? Or am I going to be a nobody? So I step back in the box, a little bit more afraid. I scoot a little bit further back just to give myself the most amount of time I can to hit that ball. Boom. Strike three. The bat never leaves my shoulder. And I never go on to play with Pudge. Of course, you probably knew that part. The truth is, in that game, that was maybe the first moment like this in my life that I can recall this happening. I let fear of the unknown stop me. What do I mean by that? I mean that I didn't actually want to see what would happen if I tried to swing that bat and hit that ball. I didn't want to see what would happen because maybe I was afraid of what might happen. Sure, maybe I held the bat because I thought, oh, you know, everybody blames umpires all the time, and so we could just blame it on a bad call. But you can't really blame it on a bad call when the guy throws three fastballs right down the middle to you and you don't do anything about it. But maybe I thought, what would happen if I swung and I popped it up and they caught it and that was the third out? Maybe I thought, what if I swing and ground out and they throw me out while I'm running to first base only to turn around and see my team disappointed in me? Maybe I thought, what would happen if I took a chance and I swung, and rather than just looking at three straight fastballs, I swung and missed three straight fastballs? But what if I didn't even swing? See, that's the reality that I've lived with since that day. The reality I lived with, I got to tell you, I have to believe is so much worse than any of those realities that I just listed. I didn't swing the bat. And so I'll never know. I'll never know if I would have popped it up or ground out. I'll never know if I would have hit that incredible grand slam. I'll never know if I would have even just hit a ground ball that got through somehow and scored the winning runs. I'll never know because I didn't swing. And I'll tell you, as I've thought about this, especially as I understand 9-year-old baseball a bit more, if I could go back, I think I would choose to swing at every single pitch. Because every single chance that I had to swing would have been better than the alternative. To sit there and say that I had a chance, I had the bat, and I just let it sit on my shoulder. Don't we all have similar stories in our life? Sure, maybe you're not a baseball fanatic like me. Maybe you're not that into sports, or maybe you were. Maybe you're into sports and you regret not trying out for that team. Or maybe you're in sports and you have a very similar story in a big moment of a game where maybe you didn't take that shot. Maybe you didn't step up and do what you knew you should have done. Maybe you're not into sports. Maybe you're a person who likes theater. Maybe you didn't go out for that theater production. You didn't audition for that play. Maybe you didn't try to be on the school board. Or maybe you didn't get that girl. Or maybe you didn't go out for that job or that promotion, or maybe. One thing's true. I think we all can relate to this fear of the unknown, a fear that comes from not being sure of what's going to happen next, especially when it feels like we allow that fear to stop us, to not make that team or get that promotion or accomplish that goal. But for us as Christians, there's an even greater risk that I believe we face when we allow fear to stop us. For Christians, fear of the unknown stops seeds from being sown. Fear of the unknown stops seeds from being sown. And what I mean by that is, there were two farmers. Both farmers really, really wanted to have a fruitful crop, and so they started to pray. They prayed that God would bring the rain that they needed, the necessary rain, so that as they sowed their seeds, then they would actually allow the seeds to grow up and mature and become fruitful harvest that they could then go and reap. And both prayed fervently. One farmer took his seed, and as he prayed, he went out and he tilled the ground. He made it ready. He prepared the soil for that rain to come, and he planted his seeds, and he spread them far and wide so that he could get the most benefit when that rain finally did come. Even though everyone was telling him, it hadn't rained in 2 years, it's not going to rain this year. And then the other guy who was praying for rain, he listened. He said, you know what? Maybe they're right. Maybe this year will look like just all the others, and the land will be dry and barren. And what's the point? So he didn't till his land, and he held on to those precious seeds because he didn't know if he would be able to get more. And so then the rain comes. Which farmer benefits? It's the farmer who planted his seed and prayed for rain, trusting in God, even in the fear of the unknown. You see, for us as Christians, fear of the unknown stops seeds from being sown. And so what do we do? Well, right now we turn to Matthew 14. So if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 14. I'm going to read a story that may be pretty common to some of you, but I hope that doesn't stop you from hearing the truth within this story. In Matthew chapter 14, starting in verse 22, this is a story about Jesus eventually walking on the water, and it comes right after he has just fed the 5,000. It says in verse 22, "Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray." It says, "Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it." Buffeted, not buffet. Anyway, just me? Okay. See, Jesus sends his followers out on the boat. He says, "Y'all go ahead. I'm gonna send them away, and I'm going to go spend some time in prayer like he always does." And it says that even though the wind and the waves, they were pushing against them, they were working hard as they could, and it says they get a pretty considerable distance out. And it's in the evening that this happens. But look in verse 25. It says, shortly before dawn, how long have they been rowing? How long have they been trying to push this boat across, but the wind wouldn't let them? Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. I just have to stop for a second and recognize that all throughout Scripture, when you see the power of God at work, this is the common response. The common response, whenever they see that God is on the mountain, is to fear and say, "Moses, you go talk to him. We don't want anything to do with that." When they see the power of God at work in Jesus walking on the lake, they freeze, they're terrified, and they cry out in fear and say, "Whoa, I'm not sure I want to be close to that." The power of God at work can create a lot of fear in us because it's a part of the unknown. Verse 27, "But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus." What an incredibly bold move. Especially for somebody who me really doesn't like big bodies of water. I'm like, "Peter, you're crazy." But he says, "Lord, if that's you, tell me. Tell me to come to you, and I'll walk on the water just like you are." And Jesus says, "Come." Peter was not the one who held the bat on his shoulder. Peter was not the farmer who held on to his seeds out of fear that it wouldn't rain. Peter's the guy who steps out in faith. And the question I have for some of us this morning is, have you stepped out in faith? In the face of fear and the unknown, have you stepped out with faith? If you've heard this story, then you realize that's kind of the whole point. It's a challenge to us to consider our lives and whether or not we're actually walking in faith. Are we getting out of the boat? This story is about faith, but it's also about fear. Let's keep reading in verse 30. "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to, what does that say on yours?
Sink.
Mine says sing. I'm sorry. Why was Peter singing? Anyway, beginning to sink, he cried out. He said, 'Lord, save me,' because he looked up and he saw the wind blowing again, and immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?' And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down." What happened? Peter's out there. He's walking towards Jesus, and he's like, "This is pretty cool." It says that he looked away from Jesus and he saw the wind, the thing that they had been fighting all night long. And he was afraid again. He lost sight of Jesus. Let's not lose sight of how much work they were putting into getting across in the boat. They all got in that boat right after supper time. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. It says in verse 25 that Jesus started walking out on the water just before dawn. When Peter saw the wind, do you think that he longed to be in the boat again? When Peter saw that thing they had been fighting all night long, do you think he wished that he was in the safety of the boat one more time? Do you think he had second thoughts or doubts? You know, when Jesus asked, "Why did you doubt?" I think often we have the same response. We doubt when we lose sight of Jesus. When we take our eyes off of the one who says, "Come and follow me," and we start looking at the reality of this world and we start thinking, "There's nothing I can do about it," we lose sight of the fact that it's Jesus who has called us into the unknown. And we begin to have fear once more. When we step out in faith, we rely on Jesus to accomplish what we can't. In verse 33, we see the result of this stepping out in faith. It says, "Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" What an incredible result. Jesus is seen more clearly through this act of faith. And who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that to be the result of them stepping out in faith, taking a chance, starting a new ministry, going and serving those in need? The idea that people would then worship Jesus and see more clearly who he truly is an incredible proposition. If you've been a Christian for a while, especially if you've been around Shiloh for a while, like Gary talked about last week, then I believe that you are a lot like Peter. You've stepped out of the boat. You've walked on water. You've stepped out in faith, and you've come to him. And truth be told, you've probably had some doubts along the way. You've probably had some fears and some doubts because, let's face it, the world hits hard. But you've gone to that point, and you've come back again, and you've continued to pursue Jesus and keep your eyes on him. Because of your act of faith, others have come to see who Jesus is. But my question for you, if that's you this morning, is the same as what I would love to ask Peter once he was back in the boat. I want to know, would you do it again? Would you get out one more time? Would you take that step of faith? This morning, I have Ben, our student minister here. Y'all give it up for Ben. Yeah, thank you. Ben is a basketball player. Well, he was a basketball player. And I wanted to ask Ben, would you take another shot, man?
No, dude, I'm done, man. I'm 41. I'm afraid. I can't make this shot from here.
No, dude, no.
Can I just go lay it in?
No. Dude, you can take that shot for sure. You got it. What's stopping you? What's stopping you?
I've got
the crowd behind you, man. We weren't expecting that.
Thank you. But I've got my kids here and my family, and I coach basketball, and my players are here. I'd hate to miss it in front of them.
No, dude.
I mean, what if I airball it into the baptistry? I baptize kids, not basketball. I don't know, man. I'm good.
No, dude. Hey.
You shoot it.
Dude, no. I'm the baseball guy, remember? Basketball is your thing, man. And hey, don't forget this. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
Yeah, that's right? A great one.
What's stopping you? What are you afraid of?
No, I don't want to fail in front of everybody. I
come
just,
on, dude.
I'm good, brother. Thank you.
Y'all think you can do it? They believe in you, man. Here, you got it. Look, it's even short.
All right. If this is for Luca, then.
For Luca? Oh, no. Oh! Dude.
I'm going to stick to youth ministry.
Airball. Right.
What about y'all? I mean, what's creeping inside of you, keeping you from taking your shot? Is it embarrassment? I mean, I just airballed it. We all airball sometimes. Maybe it's irrelevance. Maybe you think you're too old to jump out into ministry, to engage with your neighbor. Maybe you think you're too young. Well, you're not. Or sometimes it's isolation. We're afraid we're the only one that's going to step out in faith. God never leaves you. But most of the time, it's just the stress of the unknown. You just don't want to go into a situation where you're going to be stressed out. Maybe you've never even stepped out in faith before. Maybe you've never stepped out of the boat.
Or maybe you're that type of person who has stepped out of the boat, but you've lost focus on Jesus, on the thing that called you, the one who called you out in faith to begin with. Maybe you've gotten out of the water, but things are becoming difficult. Maybe things haven't gone according to plan, or maybe you got burned out, or maybe you faced failure in those ministries.
I think some of us think, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt, right? But I'm going to ask you, would you do it again? I think a lot of times we think, no, I've retired, it's someone else's turn. Or maybe you've said, God, use someone else, I'm not the one that you want to use. I think a lot of things that scare us in the unknown is the fear of having to learn the new way.
Absolutely. And whatever your fears may be, we have to realize that just like Peter being called out onto the water, we have to recognize that Jesus calls us to have faith in the unknown.
About 5 years ago, before COVID, I moved here excited about this new move to Tyler. I remember walking into the parking lot and seeing the most beautiful parking lot I'd ever seen. So flat, right in the middle of a huge residential area. And I thought, oh, what a great opportunity God's blessed Shiloh with. We had just got done raising over $300 for the Engage or Reach Fund so we could go out and start new ministries. So I thought, well, what if we combine this parking lot with basketball for Jesus? But a few months later, we all know COVID shut us down. But I also had a cancer diagnosis that threatened my life. And I remember thinking, oh, maybe we need to rethink this. But I had also already shared the vision with a number of Shiloh members. And those seeds had already been sown. So from there, God worked miracles in my life, in this church. COVID finally let up, and we went outside and started Reach Basketball League. And every year we've had over 80 students from 6 to 10 years old go out there, play basketball for 4 weeks of the spring. And over 50 of you are out there with them each week, volunteering to set up, take down, run security, concessions, ref, coach, work the games as registrars, scorekeepers, on the sidelines as cheerleaders, running first aid, hospitality, or just getting out there and encouraging your kids to play. And then we have our RBL leadership, many of you who help year after year. But this year, we're going to add another area to support the kids. But you gotta show up, kids. We need all of you to play. Even if you don't, even if you think you're gonna airball like me, that's okay. We're gonna add every team a fan zone to support that team and travel with them for 4 weeks. I hope you'll join us. We're gonna have our fourth season start March, the last Saturday in March, and run through Easter weekend, April 20th. Today, you can sign up as a volunteer to start this season at the Big Green Wall, or you can take your phone out and scan the QR code behind me, and we will get you connected in some way, either to one of those areas, or if you have a new opportunity that you would like to do to make it better, I would love to hear that as well.
Absolutely. And today, along with RBL, we want to highlight our Engage Ministries, where you can take that next step, where you can take that step of faith, even in the unknown. You may not have any clue about basketball, and we want you to come help. That's exactly what Ben was talking about with that support team for each of those teams. But just like RBL, these ministries are how we as a church take a next step toward our 2030 vision, to be a church that engages our neighbors well. And RBL is kind of unique in that it's just for 4 Saturdays in the spring. But we have ministries set up out here in the foyer that operate year-round trying to serve and bless our neighbors, just to be good neighbors in this community. And so today with our Engage Ministry Fair, we want you to find out where you can take that next step of faith in the unknown. Ministries are set up at the various tables out in the foyer. We would love for you to stop by, ask questions, take handouts, and prayerfully consider stepping out and having faith in the unknown.
But like Peter, when we step out in faith into the unknown, whether you're serving in RBL or any of the other engaged ministries, we need to remember to keep our eyes on Jesus. Rather than focusing on the fear of the unknown, focus on Jesus. What if we all began to look at unknown things this way? In the excitement of something new, Jesus can shine through you. In the excitement of something new and unknown, Jesus can shine through you.
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for this day. God, we thank you for the blessing that it is to get to be your church here in Tyler. Father, we thank you for the opportunities that we have through these incredible ministries like Reach Basketball League and Hearts for Huskies and so many more, that we can go out and we can engage our neighbors to share the love of Jesus with them so that they might come to know you. Father, I ask a special blessing on this day in each person here or even those watching at home. Father, that they would recognize this opportunity and this challenge, that they would hear Jesus calling us just like he did with Peter to step out in faith, even in the fear of the unknown. Father, give us that courage today. Help us to prayerfully consider ways that we can challenge ourselves this year to do even more to engage our neighbor. Father, thank you for this morning to gather and worship you in spirit and in truth. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.